Will you pray with me? Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love you have shown us through your Son, Jesus Christ, that you came to forgive, not to condemn this world, but you came into the mess as one of us to offer us pardon and peace by becoming a mess on the cross. Help us, O Lord, to find ways to move toward people in the midst of their mess, that we may help and love in the same way you helped us. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. So the past few weeks, we've been talking about how God loved this messy world so much. He sent his Son into the midst to seek us, to save us, to redeem us, to bring us out of our mess, out of our sin. We've also kind of maybe you found yourself saying that I know a mess when I see one because I am one, right? We're all messy people in some little messes, some big messes, but all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But praise be to God, we're forgiven, right? We've been set back on the path of righteousness for his name's sake so that we may live for Jesus. And sometimes that means not just saying unmessy, but going back into the mess. Going back to be a part of other people's lives, even when that might be messy. One of the images that I have for this kind of reflects what Hannah shared with the children. You guys remember September 11th, 2001? I know I remember where I was. I was at seminary in St. Louis. It was around chapel time, and we kind of heard that a plane flew into a building. What happened? But when we came out, it just one thing led to the next. And soon over 3,000, almost 3,000 people lost their life. And it's one of those tragedies as we come across up to Memorial Day, we remember. We remember those who died. But I think why I show you this is because there are some people that ran away from this mess, but there were some people who ran into it. Some people who went to help, even in the midst of their own personal safety. They went into the mess. They went into the burning buildings. They went in to help people get free. I remember as a seminarian, there was a pastor who was just a couple years ahead of me, William. And he was one of those pastors who was in New York City on that day. And just he didn't run away from the towers. He ran to it. There is something in him that said, I've got to go help. I know there's hurting people. I've got to go help. And so we went into the mess. Why would somebody do that? What motivates someone that when they see somebody hurting, when they see a mess, I think the easy thing to do is what? Just run away. Take care of yourself. But I think Jesus wants us to do something more than just look out for ourselves. He wants us to help our neighbor, because that's the way God has treated us. God has sent his Son into this messy world, and God did not judge this world with fire. God did not judge this world with another flood, but he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sins of the world, that all who believe in him were made right with God. We are justified. Our sins are washed away through faith in Jesus Christ. We don't deserve it, we don't earn it, but we receive it as a gift through faith in Jesus. And this changes us. With the Holy Spirit living in us, it changes our perspective, it changes who we live for, it changes what matters most. And so today I want to talk about how that changes us and how we respond to the messes of this world. Jesus talks about it with the expert of the law that came to test Jesus. This is in Luke chapter 10. He asked Jesus, you know, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus kind of turned the question back to him and said, well, what do you think? And he said, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, you've answered well. Do this, and you will live. And the guy maybe was squirming a little bit. And so he said, well, who's my neighbor? Well, what does this mean? And the people that knew Jesus around that time must have maybe they saw that glint in his eye, because he wasn't going to answer the question, but he was going to tell a story. And have you noticed that Jesus likes to tell stories where the bad guys, Jesus turns into the good guys? And so Jesus tells a story about who my neighbor is, about a man who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. Two robbers came, attacked him. They took everything that he had, beat him up, left him on the side of the road, dead. You would say, this guy is a mess, right? He's a mess. Is he in need? Can he help himself? No, he is a mess. And so Jesus says, a Levite, a priest walks by. All right, this is kind of like the preacher in Jesus' day. The preacher walks by, he sees a man in need, and what does he do? He passed by. And then a Levite, kind of assistant to the priest, comes along. He sees the man in his need, and Jesus says, what does the Levite do? He passed by. He saw the mess, ignored it, saw the mess, and walked by. But then the Samaritan, ooh, those dreaded Samaritans, all right, those are our enemies. The Samaritan came, saw the man, took pity on him, and went to him, poured oil on his wounds, wrapped him with bandages, put him on his donkey, took him to an inn, paid, you know, 2 denarii, here, take care of him. I owe you more, I'll come back, check on him, and make things right. Would you say the Samaritan went above and beyond, all right? He went there, he helped, he walked alongside of him, he got him the help that he needed. And so Jesus asked the man then, who is the one who was a good neighbor? And the man said, the one who showed mercy, the one who didn't pass by, the one who stopped, the one who helped. And so Jesus then said, go and do likewise. Was Jesus just talking to him? Or is Jesus talking to us? I think Jesus is talking to his followers, and he's holding up for us the example of the Good Samaritan, that when you see a mess, he wants us to move toward the mess. The temptation is so easy, all right, to walk by. I don't want to get messy. I don't want to get involved. But I think Jesus calls us. Jesus, who has come to us in our mess, who has rescued us, who has picked us up and filled us with his Holy Spirit and forgiven our sins, he sends us in the world, into this messy world, into messy people's lives, to love others as he has loved us, to move toward the mess. There's actually a book that I've been reading called Move Toward the Mess by John Hambrick, and I love the subtitle of this. It says, if you move towards the mess, this is the ultimate fix for the boring Christian life, all right? What, you know, if you ever think following Jesus is boring? Sitting in, don't say, Pastor Andy, your sermons are boring. I don't want to know about that, but following Jesus, okay? You know, just sitting in a pew week after week wondering, is this all there is? And I believe that if you hear Jesus saying, follow me, and you see a mess around it and you don't walk by, but you do something, to help, I believe your faith will be exciting. Your walk with Jesus will be changed. It'll be dynamite. It'll be on fire because you're doing what Jesus called you to do. There's a short interview that I want to show you of John Hambrick that talks about this book, why he wrote it, and what it means for us as followers of Jesus. I'd like to watch this with you. Jesus calls us right out into the mess. And I love what he said here, that if we follow Jesus into the messes, we help people. God gets the glory, and this world gets a different perspective on who the church is and what they do, because they're loving, they're helping, they're going as sent ones. And so I think sometimes, though, it's easy to find excuses not to enter into the mess. It's easy to say, I'm just too busy. It's not very convenient for me to stop whatever I kind of got on my agenda to stop and go. Just like the Levite and the priest, I'm sure they probably had schedules. They had appointments where they were going. They couldn't be bothered. And yet sometimes God calls us to help others even when it's not convenient. Some people say, I can't do that. I want to be comfortable. All right? I don't want to hang out with unsavory people. What will others think about me? But I think when we're uncomfortable, we press into and we lean on Jesus, and we have a chance to take what God is doing and put it into action, and that changes us. It's not comfortable, but that's where we're stretched and God grows us. But also we often aren't in control. When we deal with messy situations and messy people, we might have, I want a quick fix. But often the fixes aren't quick and they're not easy. More often, one mess leads into another mess, and we pass on by because we might get messy. I think Jesus calls us to love, to move toward the mess, not with an agenda, not necessarily even to fix it, but God is calling us to walk alongside the people in their mess, to help out as we can without judgment, without condemning, but to say, I love you. Because God loves you. And so I think moving toward the mess can move us from boredom to engagement. I think for some of you young people out here, you might be thinking, is this all that church is about? But I want to challenge you to put this into practice. Is there somebody that God has placed in your life that God can use you to influence for Christ? Not necessarily share your faith, but to love, to walk alongside. It moves us from boredom to engagement. But as we do this, I want you to hear this. I'm not saying go out and every mess make it your own mess, okay? Choose a mess. I believe that God has placed each one of you strategically where you work, where you go to school, in your family, to walk alongside a mess, to offer the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. Maybe share some truth, that this is, you keep going down this path, this is where you're going to head. Say, I'm going to walk with you anyway, but I'd love it if you made the right choices. But to walk alongside people in the midst of their mess, not every mess, but I think God calls us to walk alongside someone in the midst of their mess. So I want to challenge you, don't wait. If there's a person that God has placed in your heart, make that phone call today. Write that letter now. Make that chance to, all right, how can we schedule a lunch or a coffee so that I can talk with and just share, hey, can I walk alongside of you? I think God is calling us out of our mess as redeemed Christians to enter into the messiness of the world, that we might share the hope, the peace, the life of Jesus Christ with all that we meet. May God give us the strength, not just to turn away and pass by, but to move toward the mess. Amen? Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord God, this is maybe one of the hardest things that you call us to do. Because God, it's so hard to feel that we've got it all together so that we can help others. Lord, help us to acknowledge that we're never going to get it all together ourselves, that you don't expect us to have all together. There's only one person who had it all together, and that was Jesus. And then Jesus, you sent messy disciples into this world. These disciples entered into the messy lives of other people and they loved, and they spoke the truth of Jesus Christ. They offered the grace to no matter where you were from or what you were doing, Lord, use us to share your grace and your truth with the people you've placed around us. Help us, O Lord, when we see a mess, to move toward it. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.